The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter for the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine's September 2018 edition. And on this edition, we have Naomi Campbell, and we're going to cover her story in today's episode. So first things first, the first episode or the first edition that we're going to cover today, section of Essence, is titled Issues. So 10 things we're talking about. Number one, a case for gun reform. The number of shootings in U.S. schools by May of this year totaled 23. At just 21 weeks into 2018, that averaged more than one school shooting per week, according to a CNN tally. With each act of violence against our nation's school children, the debate over gun reform becomes more boisterous and heated. But while much of the talk is focused on protection for students in schools, Miling Ho-Shing, a survivor of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas shooting in Parkland, Florida, is adamant about shedding light on the young black or the young people in black and brown communities who are affected by gun violence every day. I'm an African American woman who understands that gun violence is my reality. The hashtag Black Lives Matter activist says, I understand police brutality. I understand the assaults taking place in our communities. It happens on a daily basis, and that conversation needs to be opened up. Number two, what's cooking? Soul Food Sessions, a Charlotte-based nonprofit, is continuing to develop more top chefs of African descent by offering $10,000 in scholarships to black culinary students. In partnership with Coca-Cola Consolidated, the organization also hosts pop-up dinners with menu offerings from black chefs and recently expanded its reach to include D.C., Baltimore, and Charleston, South Carolina. Number three, state of emergency. For trans black women, living to 35 has become a challenge, due in part to high homicide ratings. To bring attention to this often overlooked reality, LGBTQ activist Ashley Marie Preston started the hashtag ThriveOver35 campaign on her 34th birthday. With it, she hopes to celebrate the lives of trans women and soften the community's attitude towards trans people. Number four, forgotten files. Rosa Parks' refusal to give up her seat on a Montgomery, Alabama bus forever cemented her place in history. Recently, documents associated with the Montgomery bus boycotts were discovered at the city circuit court. This month, the papers lent to the Alabama State University archives go online for public viewing. To see them, visit lib-alasu.edu. Again, that's lib-alasu.edu. Number five, power position. Earlier this year, Costa Rica elected its first black female vice president. SB Alexandra Campbell Barr told Essence that with her new platform, she will continue to strive to improve the living conditions of those who have less and fight for the equality of people of African descent throughout the world. She also said she's not ruling out a future run for presidency. Number six, quote, it is amazing to me that we're having a conversation about Russian hacking, but we're not having a conversation about racialized voter suppression. which is systematic or systemic racism, which is a tool of white nationalism, which is a direct threat to our democracy, end quote. And that was a quote from Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II talking about voter suppression in an interview with Democracy Now. Number seven, improving the odds. To decrease the rate of maternal deaths among American women, the U.S. Senate Appropriations Committee is requesting $50 million in funding for programs, data collection, and research to aid mothers and their unborn children. Studies show that black women are up to four times more likely to die of a pregnancy-related complication than white women. Number eight, for the culture. A new study by the professional networking service LinkedIn found that 55% of black pros ranked having a positive workplace culture as the top reason for feeling proud of their jobs. Given the opportunity to work for a leading company in their field, four out of five would not take the job if it had a negative corporate climate. Number nine, nowhere to go. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees reports that 68.5 million people globally are casualties of forcible displacement due to escalating conflict. The International Rescue Committee estimates that by the close of the fiscal year this month, the United States will have admitted a mere 21,000 refugees, the lowest ever in the modern resettlement program's nearly 40-year history. And number 10, ready for takeoff? The Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals recently doubled down on a commitment to diversity, the airline industry. In June, the nonprofit opened the Lieutenant Colonel Luke Weathers Jr. Flight Academy in Memphis for flight training and mentoring. The academy will also equip 225 area high school students to become certified flight instructors by the year of 2025. So here are some hot tips for entrepreneurial success. Cheryl Lee Ralph. She is an Advocacy Award recipient. She's an actress and philanthropist. A quote from her is, know what it is you want, plan to make it happen, and don't give up. It takes so much to build upon entrepreneurial dreams, but you must. You must be able to consistently deliver in good times and bad. Be smart enough to solve problems and see beyond them, and have character. Work well with others, communicate with others, respect yourself and others. And above all, you've got to believe you can. Monique Van Brown. She is McDonald's next general owner operator. A quote from her is, you must have discipline, work hard, and be flexible. Be confident and know that you have to have the ability to adapt, and then you also have to be a risk taker. You have to make sure that you're able to go out of your comfort zone, end quote. Tashana Wilson. She is a scholarship winner for the 365 Black.com, or also known as the McDonald's 365 Black Awards. A quote from her is, you need faith coupled with perseverance, confidence paired with drive, and determination intertwined with integrity. Kimberly Bryant from Black Girls Code, quote, you need perseverance, vision, and authenticity to be a successful entrepreneur. I'd advise women to be open to taking some calculated risks and develop a mindset that allows them to move forward without waiting for permission. It's also extremely important to uplift Black women, recognize their achievements as it cultivates or motivates and inspires the next generation and shows them what's possible. And finally, Simone Sanders. She is a CNN commentator. Quote, be innovative, be tenacious, and take risks. Identify what gap you want to fill and what problem you want to solve. Also, get a 30-second speech down because that may be all you have to lock in our next life-changing client. Lastly, it's important to know that you only get out what you put in. Your business can't grow if you don't feed it. And these women that I just covered are a McDonald's 365 Black Awards honor, a group of enterprising women for their contributions to the community, from actresses and business owners to commentators and students. These distinguished self-made women of Black Girl Magic are leaving their mark on the world through philanthropy, research, ownership, tutoring, and everyday forward thinking. So moving on to another section of Essence titled Money and Power, making it the gig economy. Here's how you can survive pursuing an alternative income. Black women are a generational masters of the side hustle. Our foremothers were child care providing, balanced bookkeeping, homemade dessert baking, spare room, renting, and hairstyling businesswoman. They're part-time enterprises supplemented incomes and monetized the talents and skill sets that were regularly sought after by the powers that be. Hustle is our birthright, which makes the expected rise of the gig economy a natural fit for us. Reportedly coined in 2009 by journalist Tina Brown, the phrase now refers to the short-term jobs or gigs that have resulted from the increasing vitality of on-demand services or service apps like Uber, Postmates, and TaskRabbit. The digital space has made opportunities for contingency work more frequent, fast, and flexible, and Black women have jumped right in to earn extra income. The Pew Research Center finds that 14% of Black or African Americans did such work between 2015 and 2016, compared with 11% of Latinos and 5% of whites, as they use the gig economy to plan their freedom from traditional employment. Black women have to consider the estimated 32% wage gap that exists even in the independent creative sector. Still, according to the Freelancing in America 2017 report jointly commissioned by Upwork and Freelancers Union, the independent workforce has grown at 3 times the rate of the overall U.S. workforce for the past 3 years, with 47% of that increase coming from those ages 18 to 34. The expansion of contractor sites like Fervor and Toptal suggest the future is decidedly freelance. Here, 3 resourceful women share how to make money and successfully navigate the job-by-job marketplace. Lesson 1. Master Contracts and Negotiations. Ruby Melton, an administrative assistant by day for the National Institutes of Health in Rockville, Maryland, built her photography hobby into a freelance venture in 2012. First, she registered Ruby Ella Photography as a limited liability company, an important step that in most cases protects small business owners from personal liability for the company's debts. Next, she customized her own contract outlining terms for services such as photo shoots and event photography so she wouldn't find herself at the mercy of her clients' fine print. For added insurance, she requires a 50% deposit to confirm bookings. even if an event doesn't happen, I still get paid for locking that date down, and I offer a 6-month window to reschedule that ensures I'm being paid for my time and energy, says Melton, age 32, who has worked events for Honda, Ebony, and the Black Upstart. I had a major client last June who paid me a 5-figure fee in 30 days because that was in our contract. The single mother of a 4-year-old boy, Melton, has plans to take Ruby Ella photography full time. For now, her day job as a safety net that gives her the security to turn down work that doesn't make good business sense. I've had to say no to things that weren't worth my time or effort and didn't pay me what I deserved, she explains. I can do 20 low-paying gigs and not make as much as I would if I did 3 well-paying gigs. I'm not going to be swayed by the money alone if it doesn't fall in line with who I am and what I do. Expert tip, Caitlin Pierce, Executive Director of Freelancers Union, stresses the importance of outlining contractual terms to avoid taking a loss on projects and assignments. Every freelancer should have a standard contract, even if it's simple, advises Pierce, whose nonprofit advocates for independent workers. Make sure you've specified what it is and isn't included so you don't end up doing a lot of work that's outside the scope of what you're charging. A free contract creator is available at freelancersunion.org. /contract. Again, a free contract creator is available at freelancersunion.org/contract. Lesson number 2, diversify your income options. Natalie Stubbs, age 40, unwittingly started her inentrepreneurial journey as a student in GoGo Fitness, a Zumba-like class set to the percussion, heavy go-go music that's part of the Washington, D.C. culture. She had always been in health and fitness, but had gained some weight and wanted to work it off in an enjoyable way. Once she got started, she was all in. When I'm interested in something, I'll do it every day, says Stubbs. Whenever, wherever they had at the class, I was there. 18 months later and 55 shed pounds later, she made such an impression on the staff that she was invited to become an instructor. So in 2016, she launched her own venture, Body Snatchers Fitness, combining her passion for helping women live the healthiest lives with the infectious fun she believes is necessary to help them stick to their body goals. Stubbs offers affordable, customized nutritional coaching and training starting at $150 a month for individuals and $100 per member for groups. 4 days a week, she supplements that work with group classes in a room she rents at a D.C. area recreation center, attracting 20 to 30 women who pay $5 each for each vivacious but no-nonsense instruction. A financial program analyst and the U.S. Department of the Treasury by day, Stubbs developed her pricing formula for large events with an aid of a financial advisor, taking her time and travel costs into consideration to come up with her per occasion rate. Expert tip, negotiate payment terms to receive a portion of your fee up front or at least within 30 days or less. Establish multiple income streams to sustain yourself should a client not follow through. If you're great at writing or doing social media or PR, find ways to sell those skills as a consultant to earn additional income, suggests Pierce. that's something I'd really like to see, more women coming to the fore as experts in their field. Lesson number three, know your worth. Women are more likely than men to demand less for a number of reasons. In some cases, it may be because we use our previous salaries to calculate rates. When the infamous wage gap numbers carry over into the independent marketplace, women are shortchanged. What's more, it's important not to allow the fear of missing out on a job to cause you to scale back your pricing. Felicia Coleman, a Richmond coder and web designer with an UI UX specialty, nixed that concern at the start of her freelance career a year and a half ago. Her self-assurance has driven business growth. Coleman, age 26, learned how to code following her graduation from Hampton University. Through a referral, the Paul Harville Group, an artist management and consultant agency, hired her to craft the website from the remnants of a previous one. Now, she says, people ask me to do things I haven't done before, and I'm tempted to be like, I don't know, I'll try my best. But you have to get to that point where you say, yep, I can do that, and here's what I charge. Have confidence in yourself and portray that confidence to your client, too. Managing an average of 2 gigs a month, Coleman charges $2,000 for mobile app development and $500 for websites, depending on the job's complexity. In May, she launched a free messaging app called College Hive, co-developed with her fiancé to facilitate one big group chat for students across entire campuses. So between her part-time job in phone sales as a telecommunications company or at a telecommunications company and her freelance work, most of her disposable income is reinvested in the startup, which is further motivation to generate consistent independent business by anticipating client needs. I once noticed that a client was taking a long time to get me his graphic images, so I just decided to make him a new logo, she recalls. It took me an hour, and I sent it to him, and he said, hey, I made a logo. If you want this, it's $250. The client bid, and Coleman made the secondary sale. You have to take the initiative to show them the product because you're the creative mind, she says. Expert tip. Do research online, ask around in your network, and talk to potential clients to produce competitive rates. Decide if it makes more sense to charge by the hour or the project. Either way, Pierce advises, focus on the value you provide. People really struggle with the interpersonal part, so make sure you communicate your rates to clients with confidence, she says. Let them follow up with questions, setting a minimum in every freelancer's personal decision. But be prepared to walk away if the rate is below what you and the job are truly worth. And that was some good advice for those that are thinking about owning your own business, becoming entrepreneurs. Continuing on with the section of money, young phenomenon. The Kid CEO, how this enterprising teen transformed one lemonade stand into a full-fledged beverage business. Michaela Omar is extremely busy. Not only is she settling into her first year of high school in Austin, Texas, and juggling all the usual stuff a 14-year-old cares about, she's also quite the little businesswoman. She runs Me and the Bees Lemonade, which makes honey sweetened lemonade. The refreshing drink, which is derived from an old family recipe, is on shelves at more than 300 stores nationwide. When she was 4 years old, she was selling it at her lemonade stand, and then she entered a kids' entrepreneurship contest. With the help of her parents, mom handles public relations while dad oversees the finances. that Stan has turned into a successful enterprise. The best part, she uses honey instead of regular sugar to help save bees from dying off, a cause that's dear to her heart. As CEO, Omer is involved every step of the way, attending launch events, speaking on panels, and helping to develop her brand. And she has no plans of slowing down. So Essence had a conversation with her, you know, asked some questions, and then she followed by with the answers. So first thing Essence asked her is, what was it like to pitch Me and the Bees on ABC Shark Tank with your dad? Mikayla Omer responses, I was 9 and my teeth were chattering while we did it. I was so nervous. It was definitely a big leap because before we went on the show, our products were only sold in our local Whole Foods market. Once the episode aired, the business started booming. We were receiving orders by the second through our website. Suddenly, everyone wanted to know why our lemonade wasn't in their Whole Foods. So how do you handle being a kid while running a company that is growing? It's hard sometimes because I have to balance going to school and working with going out with friends and having fun with my family. Sometimes school will get in the way of the business, such as when I can't go on a trip because I have to take a test. My mom is the project manager, so she helps me stay organized. What's been your biggest lesson since starting Adventure? If you're going to start a company, you have to be passionate about it. Once I found out about how important bees are, I wanted to save them. Now, a portion of our profits goes toward that effort, and we recently launched a nonprofit to educate kids like me about bees and the importance of pollination. Any advice for girls who want to go into business but think they're too young? You're never too young. Most people wait until after college or business school, but why not get a head start? Even if it doesn't work out, you're going to learn what works and what doesn't. And then the final question that Essence asked her was, you've achieved so much so early in life. What's been your pinch me moment so far? And her response is, introducing President Obama at the United States of Women's Summit in 2016. 3 days before the event, the organizers called me and asked me if I could introduce the president before his speech. I couldn't believe I was going to be able to do that. That was probably the most surreal moment. From then on, I knew my company could make a big impact. And I think that was a sweet story to close today's program out. And so, because we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine, we hope that you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.